There's a lot of very specific skills like artificial intelligence, which you just cannot put an ad in the paper and there's going to be 20 people at your door who can do that job.
President Trump halts some forms of immigration to the United States. It's Thursday, June 25th. This is VOA Asia. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. You'll find us at VOA Asia on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube. Also ahead, top health officials warn U.S. lawmakers of the growing coronavirus threat, replacing Chinese-made telecom equipment, and many more stories coming your way, all on today's VOA Asia. U.S. President Donald Trump was in the southwestern state of Arizona Tuesday to inspect the border wall with Mexico and deliver a campaign speech to highlight his achievements on immigration. This week, his administration is suspending certain temporary work visas for foreigners, saying it would ease the economic impact of the pandemic. White House correspondent Patsy Whitaker-Sawara tells us more.
President Donald Trump toured and signed a section of the wall in Yuma County, Arizona, to commemorate the 322 kilometers his administration says has been built along the southwest border.
This is the most powerful and comprehensive border wall structure anywhere in the world. It's got technology that nobody would even believe between sensors and cameras and everything else.
The administration aims to build 725 kilometers by the end of this year. According to Customs and Border Patrol, the majority of the wall that has been built replaced existing barrier systems. Meanwhile, earlier this week, Trump signed an executive order suspending certain work visas, including H-1B visas for those in specialized fields like the technology sector, until the end of the year. The administration said the order will help Americans looking for a job during the pandemic, but it was slammed by tech companies including Amazon and Google, who need to bring in thousands of highly skilled foreign workers every year.
Some of those skills may not be easily duplicated by workers already here. I think there's a view that, you know, sort of one tech worker is like another tech worker, but there's a lot of very specific skills, particularly in these sort of, you know, bleeding edge technologies like artificial intelligence, which you just cannot, you know, put an ad in the paper and there's going to be 20 people at your door who can do that job.
The order potentially affects hundreds of thousands of foreign workers, including most H-2B visas for non-agricultural seasonal workers and several other categories of people who are currently outside the United States without a visa.
J visas, which include au pairs, foreign exchange students, visiting scholars and researchers, and even foreign physicians, and also L visas, which are intra-company transfer visas for business executives, managers, and people with specialized knowledge.
Over the weekend, Trump's first rally since the pandemic in Tulsa, Oklahoma, was marked with lower than expected turnout. With his border visit, the president sought to re-energize his base by focusing on his tough stance on immigration, a key campaign promise.
It seems to be part of a, kind of a broader economic philosophy and a political philosophy that immigration is bad for America, and to the extent that these Republican policymakers, including the president, think that's what their base wants, they're trying to give it to them.
The president ended his visit to Arizona with a campaign-style speech at a Students for Trump event.
But the radical left, they hate our history, they hate our values, and they hate everything we prize as Americans, and we're right. Because our country didn't grow great with them. It grew great with you and your thought process and your ideology.
While Arizona is traditionally considered a safe bet for Republican presidential candidates, it has become a battleground state where the outcome of the November election is unpredictable. Patsy Whitaker-Sawara, VOA News, Washington.
These are among some of the top Asia headlines you'll find right now when you visit voanews.com. China sends 8 military planes into Taiwan airspace. Analysts see move as warning to U.S. and others. Kim Jong-un calls off military action against South Korea. Taiwan announces aid plan for Hong Kongers who have fled to Taiwan. Australians lose trust in China, according to a new survey. India and China agree to cool border tensions. You'll find expanded coverage of all these stories and much more when you visit Facebook at VOA Asia. You can also stop by the voanews.com website. VOA Asia continues. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. Top U.S. health officials told lawmakers the nation's coronavirus response is improving, even as 26 U.S. states are now reporting a rise in the number of COVID-19 cases. Those numbers have increasingly become the focus of a political debate after President Donald Trump said at a recent rally he had asked for slower coronavirus testing. VOA's congressional correspondent Catherine Gibson has more from Capitol Hill.
New virus hotspots in California, Arizona, and Texas, even as other areas in the country like this barbershop in New York open back up. The president said he was serious when he told supporters he was slowing testing because it reveals more cases of the virus.
I don't kid. Let me just tell you. Let me make it clear. We have got the greatest testing program anywhere in the world. We test better than anybody in the world. Our tests are the best in the world, and we have the most of them. By having more tests, we find more cases.
The White House later walked back those comments, and coronavirus task force expert Dr. Anthony Fauci told lawmakers that wasn't the case.
But to my knowledge, none of us have ever been told to slow down on testing. That just is a fact. In fact, we will be doing more testing.
Supported by other top U.S. officials.
No.
No, sir.
No, Congressman.
Thank you.
But Democrats still have major concerns about the administration's response.
We're still falling far short of the 900,000 daily tests public health experts believe we need. We're also hampered by the administration's refusal to develop and implement a national testing and contact tracing strategy.
That strategy will bridge the gap until a vaccine can be developed. With the first vaccine trials starting next month, Fauci says he's cautiously optimistic.
We will be able to make them available to the American public, which would put us at the end of this calendar year and the beginning of 2021.
U.S. lawmakers also weighing ways of punishing China for its response to the virus, despite a U.S. law that prevents foreign nations from being sued in American courts.
And why would we take this unprecedented step? This is the third pandemic to come out of China. We also know that China failed to inform the world about the nature of the virus, that they restricted travel into China but allowed Chinese citizens to travel throughout the world. They knew it was human-to-human transmission, and they failed to adequately inform the WHO, in my view, and the world at large.
The U.S. currently leads the world in coronavirus infections, with more than 2.3 million cases to date and more than 120,000 deaths. Catherine Gibson, VOA News, Washington.
Happening now in Asia, Taiwan says Chinese military planes have flown into its air defense base 6 times in a single week, 8 times this month. Although Taiwan's Ministry of National Defense escorts each aircraft away and alerts the public, analysts believe leaders in Beijing are warning people as far away as Washington. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. We're glad, as always, to have you with us today on VOA Asia. After President Trump signed into law a ban of network infrastructure from blacklisted Chinese manufacturers, dozens of American rural carriers are having to rip and replace their Huawei and ZTE equipment. VOA's Calla Yu has more.
For 18 years, Jim Kale has worked in telecommunications in rural Pennsylvania. Now CEO of a local carrier, he knows this business from inside out.
A lot of what you do out here, it's based on relationships and trust. So if you come in here as somebody outside, even from the city, let alone China, if you're coming into China into rural America, you know, it's hard to break through.
So when Kale was first approached by Huawei in 2013, he was reluctant. Besides quality and reliability concerns, Kale hadn't even heard much about the company. But the price they offered was unbeatable, one-third of his competitors, which would save Kale hundreds of thousands of dollars. But Kale was still a bit uncomfortable doing business with a Chinese company.
At the time, there were some questions or concerns about security. It's what we started hearing as we looked into it. But based on what we checked out, there was no evidence that there was any security threat or any wrongdoing. And that's why we made a decision.
How many users do you serve in total with Huawei equipment?
Currently, we have about 1,100 customers that have Huawei equipment in their homes.
Okay. And what do they use your service for? For TV, internet? What is it for?
It's used for both TV and internet.
The hardwire started going in 2014. Kale has been satisfied with Huawei's quality and service, but the concerns over security issues have never stopped. As part of a widespread crackdown on China, President Trump sent Rip and Replace into law and banned purchase with government subsidies from blacklisted Chinese manufacturers like Huawei. Huawei has been denying any wrongdoing and says the accusation lacks evidence. Security experts believe that it's necessary to be extra cautious on companies running under China's political system.
It's very hard to find evidence. That's the problem with subtle sabotage, especially in software. That in the end, when you have so many bugs in code, how do you know which are bugs and which are, say, bug doors, sabotage disguised as a bug?
At the request of the Federal Communications Commission, the FCC, Kale submitted a report this past May detailing the estimated scale and cost of replacing Huawei equipment. It'll take a year and $600,000 and delay fiber deployment for 2,000 households. But Kale says, for the sake of national security, he will keep a firm hand.
We wouldn't jeopardize our network, the security of our network, or, you know, certainly from a national security standpoint, I'm certainly not going to jeopardize that either just to make a buck.
To ease the sting, the federal government has approved $1 billion to reimburse the program. The FCC estimates the cost to be well over $2 billion and is seeking more support from the Congress. Rural carriers expect answers sooner than later. Huawei has seized technical support and part supplies to Kale's company, which means he's struggling with maintenance, let alone expansion. Kale says he would never have envisioned all the frustration. The Huawei deal may be a bargain, but he's learned that bargain has a cost. He will be hard-pressed to work with another Chinese company in the future.
We certainly don't want to be in a situation where we put equipment, deploy equipment, spend all this time, money, and effort, and then have to take it out. That's my concern.
Kelly Yu for VOA News, South Canaan, Pennsylvania.
VOA Asia is on Twitter. Follow us at VOA Asia for developing stories in Asia, perhaps close to you. Our Twitter feed also has updates on programs you can hear and see with links to find them easily. With VOA Asia, you can also follow radio program host VOA Stevenson and VOA Melman. VOA Asia Twitter. We're always online for you.
This news from VOA Asia. Taiwan has announced a plan to use state funds to help Hong Kong protesters who have fled to Taiwan out of fear of prosecution at home. The Mainland Affairs Council minister says help will be given to Hong Kong residents seeking resettlement, employment, investment, and to study in Taiwan. You'll find all the big stories throughout the day at VOA Asia Twitter and Facebook. This is VOA Asia. You're listening to VOA Asia. It was only last year, after a hard-fought battle, that Bangladesh's transgender community was given the right to vote while using transgender as their gender identity. This year, amidst the coronavirus lockdown, the community is facing another battle. VOA's Protek Omar reports from Bangladesh and filed this report narrated by Bejan Hamdard.
The Bangladesh government last August relented and added a third gender identity category, allowing people to register to vote as transgender. Now people who are transgendered are facing a much different struggle, the financial impact of the coronavirus. By current cultural standards, some transgender people in Bangladesh make a living as entertainers in weddings and parties for newborn babies. But with the country in lockdown, their main source of income has evaporated.
Here, it is about 50 of us living together. Now we can't get out due to the lockdown. No one has come to help us or even provide us food. We have no money and no food. We used to be able to earn, but don't anymore.
People helped our neighbors, but not us. Maybe they're not seeing us as human beings. Meanwhile, the administration repeatedly told us to stay home. We are staying at home and becoming sick due to starvation. How long can we continue?
Living under such stark conditions, day after day, their ability to forge on has gotten much more difficult. Besides finances, some are battling illnesses.
I have been starving for a few days and not a penny in hand. I have no family. I'm staying here with the others. I'm suffering from various diseases. I can't go outside with this illness. I'm very much hungry. Life is just a pain to me.
Transgender community leaders are understandably concerned.
Before this situation, we used to go to people's houses and entertain young kids, make them happy just to earn some food or money. Now we can't perform our events because of the virus. I am the leader of this community. I have to take care of them. We are seeking help from the government.
The government estimates 10,000 transgendered individuals live in Bangladesh. Community leaders say that figure is close to 100,000. Undercounted and underserved, resources made available to the overall population during this pandemic are not reaching this marginalized community at this moment. For Pratik Omar in Bogra, Bangladesh, Bejan Hamdard, VOA News.
Coronavirus questions. Can the virus be spread by mosquito bites? Is there a vaccine or medication that prevents it? Is there any medicine that cures it? The answer to all of the questions is no. The best steps to take: wash your hands, cover your cough, stay at home if you are sick or advised to by local authorities.
As VOA Asia continues, the global demand for medical ventilators has soared as COVID-19, the disease caused by coronavirus, spreads across the world. A team of frontline doctors and engineers from Imperial College London has come up with what they say is a low-cost, high-performance emergency ventilator that could be quickly rolled out across developing countries with poor health systems. Henry Ridgewell reports from London.
It looks simple, and deliberately so. The designers went back to basics and came up with JamVent, a ventilator that can be built cheaply anywhere in the world, says project lead Dr. Joseph Sherwood.
So by knowing the way that a gas behaves under pressure and how the flow of a gas occurs through a valve, you can actually choose the components of the system such that you can control the pressures and flows exactly as you need to. Without the need for these complex components.
Those complex parts can cost tens of thousands of dollars. Instead, JamVent uses readily available off-the-shelf components, explains co-designer Dr. Jakob Matizig-Lee, who treats COVID-19 patients.
So we're not competing with existing ventilator designs for parts, and also because it's so simple, actually it's very scalable to build and very easy for someone to source these kind of parts kind of anywhere in the world, really.
That includes developing countries with poor health systems. Some African countries have only a handful of ventilators to treat millions of people. The designers plan to seek approval for clinical use next month, including in Britain and the United States. Unlike other recent designs, Sherwood says the JamVent is designed to meet the full demands of intensive care.
So this is not a bridge ventilator, this is a ventilator that performs all of the functions that you need in the ICU to cope with COVID-19 patients and their demanding requirements. The design is actually freely available, and we will work with different manufacturers to go through their own regulatory procedures.
Its potential goes beyond the COVID-19 pandemic, says Dr. Matizig-Lee.
And there's no reason that this can't be used to kind of supplement ICU capability around the world going forward for any kind of respiratory condition.
The JamVent design is freely available on the website, and governments and healthcare firms are encouraged to get in touch. Henry Ridgewell for VOA News, London.
You're listening to VOA Asia. Communities in the United States and around the world are talking about when and how to ease lockdown measures as they grapple with the COVID-19 pandemic. This disease and how it spreads presents some unique challenges. People without symptoms can infect others, and for some it can be deadly. What if a smartphone app can let you know if you've been exposed? Michelle Quinn reports.
Communities around the world have slowed the spread of the coronavirus by locking down society. But there is fear the virus will begin to spread again once those restrictions are lifted. Renu Dhillon, a doctor, worked in Guinea in West Africa during the Ebola crisis. He helped find people who had encountered a sick person, a practice known as contact tracing.
But certainly with Ebola, as soon as somebody had symptoms, they would, you know, we would try to recreate where they've been, who they've been around. Based upon that, we would then be able to make a list of people who were contacts. And we would follow those contacts for Ebola for 21 days.
COVID-19 presents challenges to tracing contacts. Some never have symptoms. Others can spread the disease for a day or two before showing symptoms. But what if you could digitally trace people who have been exposed? In the model Apple, Google, and others are proposing, no name is shared, no location is shared. The beacon data lives on the person's phone, making it less of a target to hackers than if government health authorities stored the data. Of course, the phone in your pocket isn't going to tell you whether you're carrying the virus, but digital contact tracing might play an important role as society opens. Michelle Quinn, VOA News, Oakland, California.
VOA Asia continues. From a teenager on a mission to deliver gloves, masks, and other equipment to small hospitals, to a dance instructor helping seniors stay in shape, Americans are finding many ways to help each other during the COVID-19 pandemic. VOA's Mariama Diallo reports.
16-year-old TJ Kim, who's training to be a pilot, is using his flying skills to deliver medical supplies to rural hospitals in the state of Virginia.
In my stage of training, we are doing what's called cross-country flights, which means doing flights over 50 miles.
Like other high school students, TJ began looking for ways to make good use of his time after school activities were canceled to help contain the spread of the coronavirus.
I talked to my dad about ways to fly and serve at the same time, and we came up with Operation SOS, meaning supplies over the skies.
He made his first trip with a flight instructor and recalled his first landing.
As we were coming down to land, we're calling out our position. And then all of a sudden, on the frequency, we hear from the ground, November 172 Delta Romeo, is that you with the supplies? And I was just kind of shocked because I didn't expect that. So I call back, yes, that is us with the supplies.
TJ says in one mission, he delivered 4,000 gloves, 2,000 shoe covers, 25 non-surgical masks, 20 pairs of protective eyewear, and 10 concentrated bottles of hand sanitizer to various smaller hospitals. In Washington, D.C., the Vida Senior Center is on a different mission, one to help elderly residents in a Latino community stay in shape through dance and exercise.
Muy bien. Vamos. Uno, dos, tres.
To maintain social distancing, dance instructor Lola Jaramillo records videos for seniors to follow online.
We know that if they're physically active, they'll also be so mentally and won't feel isolated.
What we are trying is to keep a connection. And there's no physical connection now, but there's an emotional connection, and we are trying to do this in different ways.
As the seniors keep busy with exercise videos, the center has also added relaxation classes and nutrition tips and shared information about COVID-19 in Spanish. Mariama Diallo, VOA News.
You've been listening to VOA Asia. In addition to this program, you can find us online at VOA Asia Twitter, Facebook. We're also on YouTube and Instagram. And you'll find our full-length programs at our website, voanews.com. Thanks for joining us, and thanks to our managing editor, Diane Gao, and our VOA Asia team. That's Ira Melman, Doug Bernard, Keith Lane, and Amy Popeboom. I'm Jim Stevenson. We're in Washington. We hope you have a wonderful day today. Be safe. Be well.